So as always, the pastimes of Mahaprabhu are very sweet and beautiful and instructional. You see the mood of Mahaprabhu. You see the mood of compassion he has for his devotees. He could not tolerate that Brahmin's pain. Love that manuscript to that Brahmin to give him relief. Although his words had already given him relief, right? Mahaprabhu just sees his mood. He wasn't thinking, why should I bring him some book on the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And I already told him directly. You know, and if he can't accept that, then he can go to hell. Mahaprabhu didn't think like that. Mahaprabhu already spoke, right, the absolute truth to that Brahman, right? Videsh Savai Rameva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Beda Bit Eva Chaham in Bhagavad Gita. That's Vedanta Krit. Right? Krishna is the maker of the Vedas. And everything is there. And he already spoke directly to that Brahman. And that Brahman had some faith in him. Still, right, for his further happiness, Mahaprabhu took those pages to give him more satisfaction, to give him more happiness. And he accepted his mood. We have to be very careful and not to be cheated and not to step on people's moods. And there's again that Beda-Ved situation. And Mahaprabhu's Beda-Ved always is helping us. Stay a little neutral, but don't step on people's heart. And some people may, we may think, right, if some Brahmin came and said that to us, I know I'm not cooking, I'm fasting, thinking, you know, Mother Sita was taken away. Come on, man. But Mahaprabhu accepted that Brahman. We don't have to try to correct anything except ourselves. But we have to be careful not to be cheated. I see we'll be running to South India with some Brahman who's not taking any meal because, you know, Sita was touched by Ravana or something. Not like that. But Mahaprabhu accepted this Brahman's mood. But we can also accept it from distance and faith, right, under the guidance of our Gurudev, not to run here and there, but to see everything in a better way. That's what our Guru is trying to teach us. So many times we've brought up this fact of Paramahamsa Dharma Gyan Shikar Pachari. Paramahamsa Maharaj wrote something extremely perfect in that expression. Paramahamsa Dharma Gyan Shikar Pachari. And we'll see good everywhere. That's the purpose of these ashrams. That's why we're here. We're here to be trained to find good everywhere. That's our training. And trained to find bad only in one place, in ourselves, but not too much. That's for the very advanced Vaishnavas. They can find so much fault in themselves. If we find too much fault in ourselves, that will also just be, right, some external negativity and we'll be discouraged. So we don't want to discourage anyone, and especially not even ourselves. We don't want to discourage ourselves from making progress. But if we have to find some fault, and sometimes it's a non-controllable reflex, to find some fault, and at least find it in ourselves. And our Gurudev boldly declared that. It was very nicely put on the internet and broadcast by Mahananda Prabhu. My religion is to find fault with myself. That's Gurudev's declaration. But to find good everywhere else, that's our training. That's also his situation. He finds good everywhere else. Finds fault with himself. You know, we come before him unqualified monkeys, and he says how wonderful we are, how much service we've done, how many good qualities we have. And about himself, he says, you know, he was a naughty boy, no quality and no qualification, and so many things. It'd be a difficult thing to write on the hospital form. What is your religion? Hinduism, Christianity? Find fault. What kind of priest are they going to bring to you? Just a mirror.
was your last night.
But that's really the situation in a serious way. Sometimes we can't avoid fault finding. So we find fault with ourselves mildly. The training is to be gentle. And a Vaishnava is a gentle person. Arjuna, by killing millions of people very gently and humbly, he was killing all those people, but he was gentle and he was humble. He was not arrogant. He was not proud when he killed all those people. And he didn't want to kill them. And that's what Bhagavad Gita is all about. But at the end, and he said, Kurishye Bhachanantava Anasta Moha Smriti Labda Krat Prasada Mayachuta Stitosmi Gata Sandeha Kurishye Bhachanantava. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, think how beautiful Krishna consciousness is. And then we have to somehow cleanse ourselves of not you guys, some of you, but the rest of us, our older folks. We need to cleanse ourselves from our previous religious experience. And even those of you who didn't grow up with that religious experience like we did, kind of permeates the environment. That religion is a process of crime and punishment. And at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna in a very friendly way. And what is Bhagavad Gita? It's a friendly discussion. An affectionate, friendly discussion. Sometimes we think it has some book of philosophy or something. Maybe other people in the world see it like that. You know, Thoreau in the morning bathes his intellect in the stupendous and cosmogonal philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. That's his problem. Right, but that South Indian Brahmin who was not so educated like Thoreau, right, Mahaprabhu said he really had the proper conception of Bhagavad Gita. How beautiful it was. How sweet it was. The exchange between Arjuna and Krishna. Right? Everything is like that. Right, Bhagavad Gita is like that. Chaitanya Charitamrita is more like that. It's all about this sweet exchange, right? Krishna is filled with compassion for his devotee, trying to help him, his friend. And so many times Arjuna said, I abused you. We were joking together, eating together, lying on the same bed, sometimes with others, sometimes just the two of us. And foolishly I called you. Hey Yadava, hey Madhava, hey Shaketi. I never called you Bhagavan. Said, hey Madhava, hey Yadav, hey my buddy. Like that I called you. I never called you Bhagavan. Because right? They were friends. So Bhagavad Gita is a very friendly conversation. Helping his friend. Right? Krishna's helping his friend. That's why Krishna's there in the first place. Why is Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot? Because he's his friend. And at the end, he doesn't say, now Arjuna, I told you everything, you do this or you go to hell. And you're punished in so many ways. No, he said, now my friend, I told you everything. Think about it. And then do what you want to do. As you like. You do that. Think about it. We had this discussion. Think about everything and do as you like. And Arjuna said, yeah, I'm going to do whatever you say. Kurishye Bhachanantava. That's my conclusion. Your conclusion is that. I will think about everything and do what I want. Now this is my conclusion. Nashtamoha Shmikir Lapta Tat Prasada Mayachita. By your grace, all my illusion is gone. And my bewilderment is gone. Again, I can receive things properly. My doubts are finished. I'm back in my real situation. Stitosmi gata sandeha karishe vachanantava. And I'm going to do whatever you say. Affectionately. Not by law. Krishna didn't say, if you don't do this, you're going to be punished in this way and that way. No, affectionately. Affectionately, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Affectionately. And what we're talking so many times, affectionate guidance. And what is Bhagavad Gita? It is affectionate guidance. And Arjuna had affectionate acceptance of that guidance. And killed so many people for Krishna. But with no anger, some spirit, but not like mundane anger. and no pride. So we see Mahaprabhu's sweet ways, feeling for the devotees, to relieve their misery. And every time we say, Nityananda Sahodito, Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Nityananda Sahodito, Gaudadaye Pushpapanto, Chitro Shango Tamoju. Together, they have risen on the horizon, out of Bengal, to remove all the darkness from our lives. And we're hearing how all the unhappiness and lamentation of the people went away just seeing Mahaprabhu. So that's the program, right? That's what our Guru is trying to do for us, right? To remove every trouble in our lives, the real trouble, you know, not the external things that don't solve anything, right? We always think about this and that and how we're going to be happy in the world. That if I get that, I have a new car, I'll be happy. If I get a new MacBook Pro, I'll be happy. If I get a new this, I'll be happy. My business increases, I'll be happy. And we don't have to go any lower than that. Sometimes we think other things also will make us happy. No need to describe everything that we think will make us happy. But so many of those things we get, they never make us happy. They're not possible. But our Gurudev is trying to give us a thing that will make us happy. Make us permanently happy. Ever increasingly happy. And sometimes we forget that. That's what Krishna consciousness is about. He's not giving us those other things. Krishna is not like that. His demigods are there for that. You want material benefit, worship some deva. At least Eastern religion is about business, not about crime and punishment. You worship this deva, you get this much back. If you do it on this day, you get twice as much back. If you do it on a better day, maybe you get 10 times back. And if you do it on the most special day, you know, something, I don't know anything about astrology, but some Mahakrantha or something, and you get 100 times back. Maybe 1,000 times. So you can do that, a material benefit. But material things will never satisfy us. So many examples. We were captured, many of us, by the hippie culture. So the people who had the maximum achievement in that culture, they were all trying to kill themselves. What was the hippie culture about? We don't need to discuss it in detail. But it was about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And so the people who had the maximum achievement of that, who were the rock stars, why were they so unhappy, man? If material life makes you so happy, the achievement of material things makes you so happy. For a while, I was very good friends with Ambarish Prabhu. And Ambarish's mother, when he was growing up, and maybe till today, the second richest woman in the world. First richest woman in the world is Queen Elizabeth. Second richest woman in the world, her son joined the Krishna consciousness movement. And he told me when he was growing up, his mother drank a whole bottle of vodka every day. So if we think material things, right? If we don't have any money, which is mostly the situation in my life, but then we always think, wow, I get some money, I'll be happy, right? People are mad after money, like win the lottery or somehow become successful in business or make the right investment. And the second richest woman in the world. And, you know, I have respect for Queen Elizabeth. Did she look really happy? No offense or anything. The Queen, long live the Queen. But does she look very happy? So we think that when we get material things, then we'll be happy. So our Gurudev is not giving us those things because they don't make us happy. Krishna himself, he's indebted with us. We have a connection with his devotee. No matter how deeply we've gone or no matter how shallow we may be, we have a connection with his devotee. He's indebted to us. But he's not giving us material things. Go away, because he's selfish. You know, is Krishna selfish? So those things won't satisfy us. Therefore, Krishna doesn't give them to us. According to our destiny in the reactionary plane, we have some certain quota that we get. But what Krishna is trying to give us is unlimited, ever-increasing spiritual ecstasy. That's what he's trying to give us. And the ability to taste it. And not only is that, ever-increasing ocean of spiritual ecstasy, anandam buddhivardhanam, but pratipadam purnam ritashvardhanam, but at every step, the ability to taste it increases. What good is the ever-increasing ocean of ecstasy if our ability to taste that doesn't increase? But Mahaprabhu says, your ability to taste it also increases with every step. So that's what our guru is trying to give us. And we see that in the mood of Mahaprabhu, like trying to go around and give people ecstasy. What was Mahaprabhu's gift? What was he trying to do with people? Give everyone ecstasy, divine ecstasy. Krishna prema, Krishna prema pradayate.